The hour is far and very well spent. And I'm going to see if the Lord allows me to get done in less time than normal today. That's as much as I can promise. Amen. Yeah. And I can't even promise that. Amen. Amen. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, you've heard the word of the Lord read. I just want to focus on one verse of scripture on this Christmas morning. It is a word of hope for all of us who care to hear it. It is in verse 14, and it reads this way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I can stop right there and preach. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to preach for a few minutes today from the topic, God, all up in your stuff. God, all up in your stuff. Lord God, we are grateful for another opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and to participate in the miracle that you perform from time to time, where we who are bold enough to answer your call stand to speak and you do the preaching. So we pray, Lord God, as I stand today and open my mouth, that you would indeed speak to the people, your people, God, who wait to hear a word from you, that on this Christmas morning would lift up bowed down heads, that would encourage hearts, God, that might change and transform somebody's life, particularly those who don't yet know you as Savior and Lord, that you might be glorified in this place. Have your way in every way, and we will be careful to give your name the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I understand when people tell me from time to time that the Bible is confusing to them. And it's not because the Bible is inconsistent in any way. It is because we don't understand the number of ways God is trying to get the same message to us. Sometimes, if you're like me, you are a little bit hard-headed. Try not to look at anybody in particular. It's when you look at the clock. Amen. Sometimes it takes more than one telling for you to get the full story. Aren't you grateful that God is not like my mother? Ms. Barbrand, who told you one time, was mad at you then because you should have known if you had any common sense. But if it came up to a second time, she wasn't going to be telling you anything. You're going to be feeling some effects. Yeah, around your hind parts. I love being an immigrant. Y'all know what hind parts are. That's good. But God sends us the message from a number of places in another different way, in a number of different ways. God, even in preaching, improvises until you get it. I would like to have some amount of money for every time I've stood at the back door, whichever one is the back now, and shook hands with somebody, and somebody came by. Reverend, when you said this, that, and the other thing, it sure did bless me today. Amen. This is 10 minutes after I got done preaching. Now, I don't remember every word I say word for word. I don't read from a manuscript. This is God speaking to me and me speaking to you. But I know what they said. I said, I didn't say that. Yeah. Ain't no kind of way that came out of my mouth that way. But they heard what they needed to hear from God. Because somewhere by the time it leaves my mouth and the time it hits your ears, God has been improvising it, changing it, turning it in such a way so it becomes the truth that you need to hear, that blesses you. And that God still deals with hard-headed people. Stiff-necked people. Folks with issues. And so God sends his word through different channels. It is that way in the Gospels. We focus on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the basis of our entire New Testament. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the history of God's people all come from different communities. And all of them have a different view of what happened while they were walking with Jesus. Y'all know how you tell stories. You tell stories based on what you think you saw. No, based on what you saw, some of which you don't remember, and then you insert some things every now and again. Sometimes by the time you tell it, the story isn't good enough, and you... You know, and I can tell you thinking about how to make the story better. Because when you start off, well, what had happened was, that's time for you to think. I know what it is. You're trying to get the story right. It happened the same way in the gospel. They're looking at the same Jesus, performing the same miracles, doing the same things, but they're telling you their version of the story. And God gets over our humanness and gives us truth through the stories that are told about the Bible. Matthew's got a certain story. Luke's got a certain story. Mark's got a certain story. John has a certain story. All of them have some things in common. What God does not want us to do is to get messed up in the details. Amen. Let me tell you what messed up in the details looks like. And this is not a criticism of the people. It's a criticism of us around Christmas. Particularly around Christmas. It blows my mind every year when I see it. Whenever they set up the manger, whoever they are, who goes in the manger and what happens in the manger is a complete amazement to me. There's some stuff going on in the manger that never was written about in this Bible. I saw a manger one time with the little drummer boy standing on the side. I'm trying to find it in scripture. Ain't nothing about no drummer boy in here. But somebody made up a hymn about this little drummer boy who also has a story to tell about what somebody thought might have happened in the scripture. Yesterday at Mill Creek, they had the manger there, and little baby Jesus was there, this couple with a little baby. It was all beautiful. It was lovely. It really was. And they had little kids dressed up as sheep. They were in there, right? The mother and the father were in there. The angels were in there. The wise men were in there. Right? The three kings up in there, right? They were telling the story from the perspective of an animal who we didn't know till the end of the story who the animal was. Animal was a stray cat who was looking for some mice and wound up in the manger. And so we had a stray cat laying up in the manger with baby Jesus. Anything you want to be in that manger can be in the manger because we've got so many stories coming to us all about the same thing, a Savior who was born to save the world. Same story. And John, as opposed to the rest of the Gospels, has a different story than the rest. John is not interested in sweet little Jesus boy born in the manger at all. Go home and get your Bible open and look for the birth story in John. You're not going to find it. All John wants you to know is that Jesus Christ is Lord, period. That Jesus and God are on the same level, and now y'all start thinking about what that means in your life. That's what John's interested in. John opens up his book by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Run and tell that. That's the Christmas story. It isn't about sweet little Jesus boy born in the manger. He don't mean a thing to me. He's just another crying baby in that manger.
Yeah.
I done made somebody mad. I know. That little baby does not do a thing in that manger but lay there and look pretty. I get excited about the Jesus who's about 33. Who shows up knowing how foul and how messed up I am, who hangs on a cross and dies for my sins, that he didn't commit to show what love looks like to me and to come into my mess. The only value to me of this baby Jesus is that he shows up. He shows up. He shows up in the fullness of time, right at the right moment. God shows up, and it's not just that the baby shows up, it's in the identity of the baby.
Amen.
Listen to what it said in verse 14. And the Word, John refers to Jesus as the Word because he wants to equate him with God. Somebody should be taking notes right now. The God of creation steps out on nothing and does what? Speaks out of his mouth. And there's something about when God speaks words out of God's mouth, things begin to jump into existence. What got created last time you opened your mouth? Baby, I love you, but I'm going to say some things that are going to cut you right at your heart. How many houses are we cussing, fussing, and fighting instead of speaking that which creates into somebody's life? I'm guilty sometimes. I got a quick tongue. I inherited it from my mother. It might be in my DNA. It just might have been taught to me, whether I was trying to learn it or not. But at some point in time, I can cut to the bottom line. And I get there, and I know it's painful for some people. And it's been done to me enough that I don't even mind the pain anymore. I don't, you know, cut me, it's fine, I got it. But other people, my tongue can destroy them because I'm interested in telling them my opinion rather than speaking life. You all following me?
Yeah.
Into people. That's where we live. But Jesus is referred to as the Word because he is equal with God. He is God. He was there from the beginning with God. And God is the only one who speaks and things get created. So Jesus is the Word. And what it says in 14 is that the Word, God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, did something amazing. I don't even understand this to the day. The Word became flesh, able to die, like y'all. Cut him, bleed red blood, like me. Gets hungry, gets tired, needs to put his pants on one leg at a time because he realizes that he's naked. He's a man with man issues. He's a human being with human issues. The Word, the God of creation, chose to become flesh and hang out up in the middle of your stuff. The Word was made flesh and lived, didn't come to visit, dwelt among us. Y'all from Emery Grove, you know what it's like to live in Emery Grove. God came to live in Emery Grove. God came to live in Emery Grove. God would have showed up at the baseball game down here. And he might have walked a little further down to the Dew Drop Inn. Came to dwell among us in our stuff where we live. Listen, you don't have to say anything. I know you have stuff. I know you have stuff because I've got my own share of stuff. And y'all are no better or no worse than me. I wake up with stuff every single day. Somebody gets on my nerves every single day. Not every day, but on many days, I feel like cussing somebody out.
Yeah.
I might as well go ahead and be true confessions up here.
Yeah.
I eat too much. I worry about my weight. I got bills to pay. Churches ain't paying me enough money. I mean, I'm sorry. I got issues. Every single day. But in the middle of my stuff, God, who has no good reason to care anything about me, I am created by him. Love me enough, saw my stuff enough to come out of heaven where he has everything, come through the womb of a woman and show up looking like me. In the middle of my craziness. Craziness. He shows up. We need to acknowledge that our world is full of craziness. Sometimes we're out here and we've been out here so long that we in the craziness that we forget that we're in craziness. It's wild out here. Did y'all see who got voted in as president in November? It's crazy out here. A millionaire who don't know nothing about poor people. Who is openly talking to other human beings about where he's touching women. I saw it on TV just like you. Who don't care anything about people who look like me. Or come from where I come from. Don't know how life is in Emery Grove and how we do. Wouldn't set foot in a church like this, it would scare him to death. Amen. Is now president of my United States of America. Pastor, why are you claiming? My son asked me this all the time. Why are you claiming it? I own this place. I have inherited this place from people who built it. Those are my people. The people who work from kin to kin to make sure this country is what it is look like me. They come from where I come from. They come from where Sister Say comes from. Those are my people. Don't tell me to go back anywhere. I'm born and raised. I'm from Philadelphia. Yeah. I grew up in Crestmont. I own the place. Yeah. See how quickly I get off? Bring it back. There's mess everywhere. Look on the news. First 15 to 20 minutes of any broadcast, pick your mess. It's about an earthquake. It's about a flood. It's about a plane crash. It's about child abuse. It's about some divorce, some murder. It's some terrorism. It's messy out here. And not only is it messy out here, stay with me. The reason it's messy out there is because it's messy in here. Let's own it. All the struggling that you don't tell your neighbor about is messy in here. There's some lack of peace in here. There's some things that we don't understand going on in here among us. And it's really interesting that we don't talk about that, and yet we're feeling it every day, and we still don't understand the value of God coming through the womb of a woman and becoming flesh to hang out with us. It's not for some world out there that Jesus came. Jesus came to be all up in your stuff. Now, about half the people I'm speaking to were blessed by that statement. The rest of y'all are scared to death by it. Because nobody wants Jesus in their stuff. We want to treat Jesus like a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Right? That's our prayer life. God, I need one of these, three of those, two of those, and can I get the senior citizens discount? Right? We want Jesus to deliver things to us, but we don't want Jesus to get up in the middle of the stuff. Because at the end of the day, we're in control of that, aren't we? And sometimes when you've been struggling for a long time, you become one with your struggle. The stuff you've been wrestling against is hard to wrestle with, but you know that wrestle, don't you? You know how to do it. You know how to fake it till you can make it. Your parents told you that's what you got. Sometimes you got to fake it till you can make it. You know how to rob Peter to pay Paul at the end of the month. It's just, you've been doing it so long. You've been doing it so long. Don't say amen. Everybody gonna know. Mommy, what you want me to tell him when I answer the phone? Come on. Yeah. You don't want Jesus in that argument you had with your husband last night. Mm-hmm. Lest you think I'm beating up on the women. You don't want Jesus where you thought nobody else saw you and you had that other chick on the side. I ain't starting nothing. I'm finishing some stuff today. I'm going home with my wife when I leave here. Hey, that's not a problem I have. I might got some, but that ain't one of them. We don't want Jesus in that because the stuff that we're doing, our mess, feels good to us. We are spiritually like hoarders. We get all of our mess and draw it to us and hold on to it until it suffocates our lives. And Jesus said, I don't want you to suffocate. I created you, and you can't help yourself. I'm coming to see about you all up in your mess. Come on, somebody. And so Jesus shows up. How Jesus shows up should tell us something. I thought about this. Jesus shows up in the middle of the night through a labor and delivery. Now, I want to be real clear. I've never been a mother. I haven't even played one on TV. But I've been around a woman twice who has had babies. I've seen it. It ain't pretty. Every man who has ever stood by the side of a woman in labor, if we're honest, somewhere in there and say, I'm glad that ain't me. No. That last labor pain right there, no. I don't want anything to do with that one. Yeah. Let's be real clear about that one. I think that one would have taken me out of here. I'd have been giving up the ghost by now. And you go from there and say, yeah, baby, you go ahead. Do your thing. And then we get technical with it. Breathe. Right? But it comes through chaos and pain and darkness. Even the situation around for me, birth, was around some stuff. I did not want to be bothered with labor and delivery on the night my wife and daughter are here, on the night that my daughter was born, our firstborn. I was traveling. I was a scientist then. I was doing clinical research. I had been in California all week dealing with paper and doctors. Oh, my gosh. Some of the most arrogant people in the world have an MD behind their name. Some, not all, some. And I've been dealing with them all week. I had to fly 5 hours to get back. What I wanted to do was come home and drop my bags on the floor and take my shoes off and just exhale. It's the end of the week. My brother's supposed to have a little bit of quiet time. And it was late in the pregnancy, and my wife was nesting. And anybody who's been around a woman who's nesting understands this. When they're nesting, they want what they want when they want it. And it needs to be right. My task was to finish the nursery. And I, in my view, had technically done what was necessary for the nursery. The crib was in there. There was paint on the walls. There was towels and blankets and everything you needed to take care of baby was in there. With the exception of this insignificant thing in my mind called shelves. Which, by the way, I was willing to deal with tomorrow. But tonight, I just got home from California, and I don't want to be thinking about shelves tonight. I want to take off my shoes and exhale. But my wife was really clear with me that tonight, the shelves needed to be on the wall so that box could be checked off. How many know I was putting shelves up that night? Here's the problem, and this is what was getting on my nerves. I don't know anything about anything having to do with fixing anything. Ask me any theological question, I'm going to at least tell you I know where to go get the answer if I don't know it myself. Ask me almost anything scientific, I'm going to give you some kind of an answer. I know some stuff about something. If you ask me where the hammer needs to hit the nail and where the nail needs to go and whether it's a screw or a nail and where is the stud behind the wall that I can't see, I'm in trouble. So these weren't the shelves that you build up. These are the ones that you hang directly on the wall. There's got to be something behind the wall. I don't know a stud from green cheese on the moon. So now I got to go ask the deacons in the church who might know something what I need to do to hang the shelves and then go buy the stuff to hang the shelves and then come home never having done it before and build a shelf. I did all that on Friday night. I was not happy on Friday night because what I wanted to do was come home and take off my shoes and exhale, but it was time and I needed to get it done and I got it done. It was 12 or 1 o'clock at night. I'm slow, what can I tell you? And I'm there, I'm finally asleep, and you know it's that time of night where you're getting into the good sleep? REM sleep, whatever it is, right? You're getting into that, and all of a sudden I hear this noise next to me, the water has broken. Now, I'm in a rush to get to the hospital. And we're grabbing bags. I'm throwing stuff in the car. I'm driving way too fast to get down to the hospital. Got to call the doctor, blah, 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 blah. We rush to the hospital, and my daughter, who decided to interrupt my sleep in the middle of the night because it was time to come out, got to the hospital and decided she had changed her mind. Chaos. I'm feeling some kind of way by now. And now I'm walking up and down the hallway with my wife for 13 hours. Ain't no sleep that night. The next afternoon, after a whole lot of work, after a whole lot of labor that I observed and did not go through, amen, I get the most beautiful gift of my life. But I was feeling some kind of way about it. It came through stress and pain and agony and misery. That was the situation through which the greatest gift to the world ever came. God was trying to tell us something. Any woman who's had a baby ought to be shouting when Christmas time comes. In the midst of when you're at your worst, in the midst of the worst possible thing that ever happened to you, there's a blessing at the end of it if you can get through there with God, and God sees you in your misery and shows up in the middle of your stuff to bless you. Listen, it's not just about labor and delivery. It's all up in your life as well. That habit that you can't seem to break, God is going to show up in the middle of your stuff and break all the bonds and set you all the way free so that they can never come on you again, because God wants to be up in your stuff. That problem that you can't seem to solve and has been haunting you for years, God is trying to show up in the middle of your stuff. I know you can't pay the bills today, but God is going to show up in your finances. He's able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. If you had let him do it, he came to love you. Bless you. Stand to your feet. I was trying to get done by one. I really was. When you walked in the door,